time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helfer.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader.
I love it. I love the introduction for the third base coach. Well, what do you think?
Well, it makes me laugh every time I hear it, actually. So, nicely done. Nicely done.
Very good. Well, as I said last night, you are the professor, and you know how to play baseball, and you teach it to these young people. But last night was one of those games that all the execution that had to take place, you're up against a tough pitcher, took place last night. It all fit together last night.
Yeah, great game. It reminds me of playoff games, World Series games. You know, typically we've won because we've pitched and we played defense, and you scratch and claw to get a run. We did it last night. Every at-bat was important, whether you're moving a guy, a sacrifice fly, good base running. And we pitched tremendous, you know. Starter did a great job, turned it over to the pen, and another shutout. So those are fun games for us. That's how we've won in the past, and we did it again last night.
You know, I said on the show last night, after you get seven innings with a lead, you guys, and I say you, and with Dave Rigetti and Kurt Young, and, the guys have been together, obviously, you know, Mark Gardner and Matt Hergis, everyone who has a part of this thing, Bam Bam, you guys have done this 2,000 times. I mean, yeah, I give you a lead in the seventh inning, you guys know how to bring it home. And that's Giants baseball. That's been your winning baseball.
Well, we won a lot of games like that. And, you got to take your hat off to the pitchers we have down in the bullpen, because they're the ones that get the job done, you know. Boach can call on somebody, and if they don't perform, then it wasn't a good move. But, you know, for all in all, we have the people down there. And the thing that I'm excited about, we got Mark Melanson back. The bullpen is really coming together. Will Smith is back pitching again for us now. So we have two and three lefties down there, which is great to have three lefters and left-handers in the bullpen with Ty Block. So
yeah.
Boach definitely has some options now, and our bullpen is much, much stronger now than it was at the beginning of the year.
No question. Come on. I give you guys a lead in the seventh. You don't have to get 12 outs, just 6 outs. You can get it done. And I'm telling you, this is the mark of this team as it comes together the first couple of months. The bullpen is very strong.
Yes, it is.
You know, let's see a team develop, and I see that developing, so I'm glad it's happening. How about Joe Panik last night? Of course, he's been out. Team was 14-17 without him. And as soon as he comes back, you know, Friday night he has this tremendous game. Last night, a tremendous game. Talk a little bit about Panik and really maybe the play at the plate. This is the professor talking on a Sunday morning. Panik is on third. McCutcheon's up. And what's the situation? There's no score in the game at this point.
Well, first off, he's giving us a spark, right? I mean, he comes in, he's leading off for us. He's swinging the bat good, and he's getting on base. Last night, he there was a lot of big moments in that game. But he was involved with a few of them that actually won the game for us, you know, besides Kutch getting him in. But his base running, his instincts are right on. The play you're referring to was the play when he was at third base, infield in, one out. It's a tie game. And in that situation, which made the play so good, is we were actually making the ball go through the infield. Unless he reads a high chopper or a slow hit ball where the middle infielders are ranging for it. So that takes instincts. It takes instincts to do that. Not all players can get those types of reads. So, you know, that ball was hit hard. He was staying put, but he anticipated the ball down. He saw the high chop. He broke the way he was supposed to, got a great jump. And then the slide, you know, you take that for granted, but how many times you see a guy slide, his foot is over the base, or they try to hook slide and avoid the catcher, and, you know, the catcher tags him out. He went straight in with his foot extended to touch home plate as quickly as he possibly could. He had that little lane which the catchers give you, and he executed it perfectly. So a lot of things had to happen, his jump, his instincts on the read, and then a tremendous slide to just beat the play.
And then getting to third base, Cron knocked him over to third. And again, you know, I like to tweet out during the game every once in a while. I said, all right, this is now when execution is going to matter. And Crawford, you know, the shift was on with him, and he did get the ball to the right side to get Panik to third.
Right. Yeah, he was on second. Craw comes up facing a lefty. you know, Boach chose not to bunt him over. He's a left-handed hitter. He should be able to pull the ball and get him to the third base side. But you saw Velasquez, he's throwing some fastballs away with tail. It's not that easy to get the guy over all the time. You need to get on the plate and almost hook a pitch. You know, you don't want to hit a ground ball to the left side or a fly ball. Well, they were shifted on him, so we probably would have got a hit, but that wasn't the case. Craw, two strikes, battled, was able to get the ground ball to the right side to move Panic to third, which set up the run. And that's, you know, yeah, it doesn't show up in your batting average, but that's what we like to see. That's the type of baseball it's kind of unsung when you do those things, and it was a big, big play in the game.
Oh, it was great. The third base guy, we got you back to being the bench coach again. The third base coach is with us, Ron Wotus. And then McCutchen gets him in. McCutchen didn't strike out. He actually put the bat on the ball, and that's very important.
Well, it is. You know, get him on, move him over, and get him in. He got him in. And again, a lot of RBIs are out there. If you can put the ball in play with less than two outs, you don't need a hit. Yeah. Hit a fly ball, put the ball in play, good things happen. So you're exactly right. He did his job as well twice with the chopper, battled at least to get the ball in play to set up the base running, and then a sacrifice fly.
Yeah, look, we talk about this all the time, you know, with Woe here being the professor of how to run the bases, and it all came together last night. The pupils did well last night. Especially Panic going first to third to get that extra run to set up the sacrifice fly by McCutchen, the hit by Craw off Morgan. You know, Panic and Crawford got the hits off lefties.
Right.
You know, off of Morgan. They brought Morgan in for two batters.
Right.
And both of them got hits last night, which is good baseball. But how about Panic going first to third?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that gets overlooked. That wasn't an easy read. It was a fly ball. But as Joe said, you know, he saw the outfield was playing deep. And he doesn't have the best angle at it because where he's at, you don't know how far that ball is going to carry. But he saw the way the ball was hit off the bat. It wasn't hit strongly. He knew the outfield was deep. And his instincts, again, reading that play, he put his head down and he came over to third just as you'd want to see a player do. But not all players have those instincts and get that type of read. He doesn't read the ball like that, and he's safety first. He's at second base, and the whole inning is completely different.
Yeah, he wasn't looking at you.
No.
I'm telling you, I watched him. He came around the bag, and his head was down.
Right. Well, you know, that's what you want. And honestly, I think we've talked about this before, and I've told all our guys, the toughest decision for me, one of the toughest, is bringing them to third base on first to third. You know, we want them to make their own decision when they can. You can look for me, you look to me if you're not sure, and I'll let you know. But if you know you can make it, we want you going. And you don't need a third base coach on that play. You prefer not to have them because the player knows what kind of jump, what kind of effort he has, and it's a lot easier for the player to get it done without me trying to make a read to wave him over. But sometimes you have to do it. You know, you help the guys out, but the good ones, they put their head down like Joe, and they make that read on their own.
Yeah, he can play baseball. He is a baseball player,
yep.
I'll tell you. Now, he doesn't fit this, but, you know, Eddie Stanky, you know, if you remember that name from the past, they always said, he can't hit, can't field, can't run, can't throw, but he'll beat you.
That's right.
And, of course, Joe can do those things.
Right, right.
But I swear to you, he reminds me of that kind of player. He'll beat you. He'll figure out a way if it's a double play in the World Series or some defensive play or a play just like you described.
Yeah, he's a clutch player. I mean, he's a gamer. He's into the game. He's always given his best effort. He doesn't take any mental lapses in the game, which is nice to see. You play every single day. So it's great to have him back, and he sparked us in the leadoff spot. And great baseball plays last night.
Yeah, very good. No, that's classic. That's the professor. The pupils came through. It's like they went to school, and they actually did it last night. How about McCutchen's catch in right center? And I described it somewhat of a Willie Mays-like almost. How about that catch?
Yeah, no, when the ball was hit off the bat, it didn't look like he had a chance to catch the ball. And without his pure speed, he doesn't make that play. But he got a great jump. And his route was perfect. He turned on the afterburners, it looked like, to make that catch, and completely outstretched. And that changes the game, too, that ball, if that ball falls in there. So great catch. one of the best catches we've seen in this ballpark. I think you could put, there's a handful of them, but how far he had to go and the way he caught that ball was a great play.
And he caught it right in the middle of the glove, and it was sticking out. And did you see the picture?
No.
Oh,
no,
where do
I
you
didn't.
See it? I mean, it was like, you know, it didn't get fully in the pocket. And it was an amazing play. It really was. It reminded me, you know, you think of great plays like, and I know Blanco is not here anymore.
Right.
But it's the Blanco catch in the Matt Cain perfect game.
Right. No, that was a great, looking back on a perfect game by Matt Cain. And there's always big moments in a perfect game, it seems like. When Blanco made that catch in right field, you almost felt like this thing is secure. He's going to do it. And too bad we didn't have a no-hitter going last night, because that's the type of catch it was that would have propelled the pitcher into a no-hitter after making a play like that.
Yeah, great. Hey, Andrew Suarez. And again, first of all, he's got guys on third with less than two out. And one McCutchen catch, you know, he got him out of the inning. But he got a strikeout before that. And then he had a guy on third, and he got two strikeouts at the end of the order. Suarez, there's something about him, Woe. There's something about this kid. He looks like he belongs out there. Nothing seems to bother him.
You're right. He does. I mean, he has the makeup. He's not easily rattled. He's confident, quiet confidence he has. And that was a big part in the game as well. I mean, there was a ground ball with men on first and second. We didn't turn the double play. We probably should have turned that double play. It didn't happen. And now he has first and third. And that's where he won the game for himself right there. He got a big punch out of the catcher.
Right.
Breaking ball in the dirt, a chase pitch. You know, how many times you see a guy, hang that ball? All he had to do was put the ball in play like we did to get the run in. But Andy, he made a tremendous pitch down, a swing and miss pitch to get the punch out. And that's the difference. I thought last night he kept the ball down extremely well. He pitched down in his zone. And he made pitches like he did in that point in the game to keep them from scoring.
You know, it's funny. He's such an unassuming kid. And we're doing the show, you know, out at the public house on the patio yesterday. And, you know, there's 300 people walking to my left, you know, coming up to the ballpark and all that. And I'm looking, and I said, there he is. You know, he's walking into the ballpark with the fanny pack on. And he's looking around, you know, just looking like another young man coming to the game. And I said, and he's pitching today. It's funny.
He reminds you a little bit of a left-handed Tim Lincecum, right? The first time you saw Tim Lincecum walking around at the ballpark and coming in and kind of the same thing, you know, carefree. He doesn't look like he'd be a major league pitcher on the mound, right? You look at him, he's not 6'4" and a big, you know, 230 pounds. And he goes out and he gets the most out of what he has, just like Timmy. He's got a good arm. Low 90s, and Timmy, what, through upper 90s. I mean, it's amazing. The great thing about baseball, right? You don't have to be the biggest, strongest guy around to be able to be a successful major league player.
Yeah, we talked, I think we mentioned the last time you were here, about Altuve, just watching Altuve play.
Right.
Come on, what about watching the guy like this play?
You know,
it's the beauty of baseball. And now, look, the draft is coming up Monday. And, of course, you get names at the top of the draft and all that kind of stuff. But there's a couple of little guys, little infielders, and they're describing them like Dustin Pedroia and stuff like that. But in baseball, you don't have to be 6'3" all the time. There's a spot for you in the game.
Yeah, no, there is. It's, you know, if you can play the game, you can play the game. I mean, you just said it with the body types we talked about. And, of course, now in the draft, they're going to be looking for the big, strong pitchers and the guys with power and the five tools and all that type of stuff. But no, that's a great thing about baseball. I mean, you can play no matter what your size and what your weight.
Well, we'll see it tomorrow with the draft. It's going to be interesting to see what the Giants do. You ever been in the war room during the draft? You ever done that?
No, I've never been in the war room. We're always playing. The only war room I was in is when the draft was going on, and I was at my own house wondering if I was going to get drafted or not. That was the war room for me.
Well, all right. What was your draft day like? What was it like for you?
Well, honestly, I mean, you know, back then you had to wait for a telephone call. It wasn't on TV. You didn't know. But it's a lot of anticipation. You know, you have scouts. You know, scouts would come around when you're playing high school ball. You would talk to them. You know, I visited colleges. I was going to go to Clemson and different colleges to play, but I really wanted to play professional baseball. So I think all the build-up is more exciting than the actual moment until you get the phone call. You know, not like today. you get to sit in front of the TV and watch it, or they fly guys in and they know they're going to get drafted. Everything, there's so much PR involved with it, and it's publicized so much. And I wasn't a top pick. You know, I was hoping I was getting drafted. I got drafted in the 16th round in the summer draft by the Pittsburgh Pirates. So not as much hoopla surrounding my draft.
That's pretty good. All right. But you were a great soccer player. Could you, you know, did you have the leverage to say, look, I'm going to become a soccer player instead of baseball?
Not really. I think that it helped me. I know a lot of scouts that scouted me when I was in high school. They'd go to my basketball games and then go to my soccer game because you wanted to see what type of athlete, you know, I was, just not in baseball. They talked to your coaches. They had the time, the bird dog scouts had more time to follow the play and really get to know the player, opposed to just picking him on what they see, you know, in a game. So yeah, those types of things went on.
You know, the Pirates were going to take you?
No, I did not. I did not. I got, it was a surprise. You know, I really thought that, I was going to go to college. If it, the draft didn't work out. But once I was drafted, you know, I wasn't sure what to do. And I remember talking to my dad, and this is probably not the best advice in the world for most people. It's worked out for me because, look, here I am. I'm still in baseball. But he said, well, you're just going to college to play baseball. He goes, you got a chance to play professional baseball. Why not go for it? And I said, you know what? You're right. And I signed.
Very good. How much did you get?
I got $5,000 in the incentive bonus, which was you get $2,500 when you get to AA for 60 days. You get another $3,000 when you get to AAA for 60 days, and another $5,000 when you get to the major leagues for 60 days. So I was able to cash in on that, so somewhere around $12,000.
Well, what did you do with the $5,000 when you got it?
Well, I bought a vehicle. I bought a van. Yeah, I had a friend.
Oh, the hair. We forgot about the hair picture.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? We have a friend today, Mike Phillips, here today. You ever seen the picture of Woe in high school?
No.
All right.
Don't show it to him. So anyway.
That's right. Forgot about the hair.
Yeah. I had $5,000. My friend had a van, a Chevy van. It was great. you know, it seemed like the right thing to do, and I gave him $4,500 for the van, and I had that van for a long time.
I love it. Very good. Great story. Derek Rodriguez pitches today, and the son of a major leaguer. I know we keep saying that. I hope he establishes himself so I don't have to say that anymore. But there's something about kids who have been part of the big league scene, and when they get to the big leagues, you've seen it with Barry Bonds, of course, people like that. There is something there.
No question. Look, you know, his composure, his poise, that you see just being around the fellows and being on the field. Like Suarez, he doesn't look like he rattles very easily. He's collected. He knows what the game is about. You know, it's second nature to him. And I think that's being around the game. I mean, look, he obviously has a pedigree with his dad and the skills. But, you know, not everybody with the tools. We'll find out in this draft. You draft players with tools, but it's the makeup and how you handle yourself are going to be major league players. And he certainly has that.
Well, this kid pitched 7 innings in high school. Then he got drafted as an outfielder by the Minnesota Twins. So I said, you must have pitched a heck of 7 innings to think that you could become a pitcher.
Yeah, well, you know what? It makes sense now. I didn't realize that he was drafted as an outfielder, but he can swing the bat, has some strength, and has that great arm. So I don't know when they converted him over, but it must have been fairly quick.
Yeah, huh? Winter ball. We had a few years, and he hit about 215, and then he was in winter ball. Right, Carmen? Carmen actually interviewed him. Go ahead, Carmen.
Oh, yeah, he converted in between 2013 and 2014.
Yeah, I think it was down in Puerto Rico or something, and someone said to him, well, I guess you better be taking batting practice with the pitchers. He said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, they're going to make you a pitcher, and that's sort of how it came about for him.
Oh, that, you know what? 4 years he's been pitching, that's good to know. I mean, that's not a lot of time being on the mound as a converted guy. So he's still wet behind the ears here on the mound, and he has the arm, he has the stuff, he has the makeup. So I'm excited to watch him pitch.
What do you like about the fastball? Because I realize he's in Colorado and he comes in this first game. They haven't seen him before, But he did get 11 swings and misses, and that's a lot. I know Scherzer got 29 the other day, but for the Giants, that's pretty good for swings and misses.
Yeah, you know, I've only seen him really pitch a couple times. In spring training, he started when we needed to start. And, you know, he just stood out, his composure and his stuff. Great breaking ball. He had a good fastball. And then again, when he pitched in Colorado, which is not an easy place to pitch, but you mentioned it. He got a lot of swings and misses. These good hitters, these fastball hitters, you know, Story and Arenado, they were swinging through his fastball. It's one outing, but it shows me he's got some life and stuff on that fastball. So it's great to see.
Yeah, it's great. Look, first of all, the kid, his feet are still off the ground. I mean, he is so excited every time you see him, and it's really, isn't it fun to see the youth and to that exuberance when you get to the big leagues? You've been around so long to see that.
Yeah, it energizes everybody. Look, yeah. I've always felt, you know, if you have a veteran team, you need to have the veterans to win on the team. But when you have some young players that are up and coming, that are exciting and are happy to be there, it's a great blend. Not only on the field, but in the clubhouse. You know, a lot of fun comes out of that opposed to having a bunch of old crotchety guys. And that's all you have in the clubhouse. You have a blend of enthusiasm. And, you know, we have that here in our team this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Also, Ron Motis with us, of course. We love Sunday Morning with the Professor. I was thinking about the young pitchers, and I'm going to put Stratton in that category. I'll put Rodriguez in that category. I'll put Suarez in that category as well. And I was thinking back to basketball, and you know, you're a multi-sport guy. You take a guy who's a freshman. By the end of the freshman year, he's a sophomore, so to speak, and he's ready to play. Maybe these guys will get better. You know, we always say, well, they don't have the experience of going down the stretch. They haven't pitched a whole season in the big leagues and all that. Well, maybe they'll get better. You know, there's something in there. Maybe it's there and they can get better.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. We expect them to get better, right? But to your point, not everybody does. Some guys, you know, will fizzle out. You know, maybe physically they can't maintain the grind of the season. But mentally, I mean, it really boils down to their makeup and their mental being. I mean, the physical part's the physical part. But the guys that are going to be players, they're going to get better because they're going to learn from every time they go out there. They're going to learn from their mistakes, and they're going to be able to make the adjustments. And that's the key. They may physically get tired, but, you know, the good pitchers learn to pitch when you don't have your great stuff. Yeah. So we expect them to get better, and that's a good sign when you have a player that can do that, because you have a player for the long haul if he can make adjustments.
Yeah, and Stratton's doing that. I mean, he went through the rough patch. He had a great game on Friday night, and he has last year to build on, and I think this Suarez kid fits in that category. He's getting better.
Well, he is, and he's right here at the major league level, which is not easy to do. You know, he got hit around a little bit. Yeah. A lot of guys would be a little nervous to throw the ball over the plate. That would affect him. But to your point, he came out and he pitched his best game of the season here yesterday.
I think he was waiting in line with the fans yesterday to get the fanny pack. I'm not sure he knew how to get in the ballpark. I think Carmen, when we saw him, wasn't he in line waiting to get the fanny pack?
Sure, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmen, for that. Sam, we'll ask you one more question before I take our break. There was a play at the plate where Rizzo went out of the lane to get the catcher Diaz and threw the ball to right field. The umpires reviewed it, said, it's fine, no problem. And, of course, then the next day New York said, no, that was wrong. They should have called it that way. It should have been interference. Here's the question to you, and it was brought up. Should baseball do that and review, in other words, the Supreme Court of reviews the next day, and then turn it around and take the game up at that point again? Is that too crazy?
I think it is. We need to know the rules we're playing under. I mean, you know, it's like the catcher rule. It took 3 years to get it straight. Now the double play rule, you know, do you have to touch the bag and what the runner can do when they change, you know, breaking up a double play. That took 2 years to get straight. And this rule was not addressed. And we've all played the game to where if the guy's at home plate and he's standing on the plate as a catcher, you're not lowering a shoulder. You break it up just like you do at second base. You go in with a hard slide as long as you can touch the base. That's what he did. So the issue becomes, if that's the rules we're playing under and you do it, it should be okay. You shouldn't come back the next day and say, oh, that's illegal. Let's get the rules straight and know what we're playing with.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, protests are one thing. You been involved in any protests? Were there protests? Well, I guess we had that rain delay in Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago we protested the game because of the grounds crew and the tarp.
They
didn't put the tarp down, and they didn't make a good effort to get the field ready to play. And we were all upset when that was going on. I mean, we couldn't believe it. And you know what? We won that protest.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
Yes, you did. But it's weird, kind of. I think there were more protests when I grew up. You'd see rules be interpreted incorrectly by umpires, and then the game would be replayed at a certain point. Remember the pine tar thing with George Brett with the bat that they had too much pine tar on?
Yep.
And then they went back and replayed it and said, no, it should have been a home run.
Well, it's a gentleman's game today, Marty. Okay?
I guess, okay.
It is. The gamesmanship is almost out of the game.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you look around, you know, whether it's pine tar or the pitchers with illegal substances on their hat or on their person, you know, a white shirt, and nobody's called out for anything in today's game. So the gamesmanship has gone by the wayside for whatever reason. And those things don't happen today.
Well, interesting. All right, we'll take a break. That is a professor. Boy, your pupils did well. You know, honestly, this is the beauty of spring training and going through all those situational hitting and fielding. And it was a good game yesterday, 2-0. Phillies got beat, and Giants go for the sweep today. All right, Woe is here. Carmen is here. Mike Phillips, Woe's friend, is here as well. Mike, before we go, let me allow you to say hello to everybody today. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Great program as usual. I listen to you from Maui every week when you're on the radio, and I really appreciate your professionalism. You're really great, Martin.
We like your fish tacos.
Thank you.
Well, what's your place?
Coconuts Fish Cafe. We came to the mainland a couple years ago. We have one down in Sacramento and Cupertino, but we originate from Hawaii, Maui, Hawaii.
Yeah. Carmen, do you know it?
I literally love it. It's so good.
Thanks, Carmen.
Yeah.
All right, Carmen is on board. All right, we're going to take a break and be back with everybody right after this.
Now back at KNDR's Giants Pregame. We're talking baseball with Marty Lohr on The Sports Leader.
Nice to have you back with us. If you're around North Beach, check out the U.S. restaurant, 414 Columbus. Columbus at Vallejo. It's a slice of authentic Italy right in the heart of North Beach. The Warriors do play tonight at 5 o'clock. Hopefully you'll be listening to me, but if you're not, cold beer, pizza, pasta, and sit in the front row and watch the Warriors at the U.S. restaurant at Columbus and Vallejo. On Tuesday night, Half Price Wine. Tuesday, all bottles of wine are half off. Well, you've been to the U.S. restaurant?
I certainly have. I went opening day. I mean, it's a great place. I hadn't been to Mario's restaurant over there, and does a great job. He said authentic Italian. You know, you feel like you're in Italy. Treats the people great. You get the antipasta, everything you can imagine. And I had a great meal. I brought my family, and we had a nice time.
Yeah, you guys are here on Tuesday. You can do the half-price wine thing.
You know, it's not boxed wine, right? It's bottled wine. If it's bottled wine, I don't see why I can't have a little during it. If you can drive with one glass of wine, can't you coach third with one glass of wine?
Why not? Oh, that's right. You got a night game. That's right.
Yeah, well, we might have a base runner like Ruben Rivera back 15, 20 years ago. Remember when he made that loop?
Where were you with Ruben Rivera?
I was bench coaching with Felipe. I was right there next to him and watched it with him. As I watched Felipe shake his head several times.
Yeah, that was, for folks who don't know, John Miller's call is classic.
It's amazing.
But Ruben Rivera went this way, that way, back and forth, and then he was finally out at the plate, wasn't he?
It was, I don't want to say the worst, but yes, it was the worst base running exhibition that I've ever seen, and it lasted for, you know, 30 seconds, because he went past second, he went back to first, retouched it, then he cut across straight to third base, didn't retouch the back. They threw the ball away, he went home, and he was out. It was unbelievable. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube.
Absolutely. Ruben Rivera. Carlos Gomez, sort of a colorful player. He was a free agent. The Giants, I don't think, wanted to get involved with him. But he was playing the other day, and he went out to the outfield without his sunglasses. And he borrowed sunglasses from a fan during the inning. What do you think of that?
Well, he probably could have got them from the bench. You know, the trainers have the sunglasses there. So You see a lot, though. I mean, maybe he didn't think anybody was going to notice. I don't know, because you go out there, right, and you go out and the sun's there. You got to call timeout, stop the game, go get your glasses, and everybody says, look at this guy not being prepared. I didn't see how it happened. So if he tried to sneak them from the fans so nobody knew, then I can understand it. If not, I don't get it. I think he should get it from the dugout.
Well, you know, look, baseball is entertainment. And Nick Hundley was on with us the other day, our philosopher. And Nick's getting much better doing the show. He really is. It's fun to talk to him. You get his personality. But he talks about players, you know, you go near the stands to catch a pop-up and someone's eating nachos and you take a nacho. You know, that kind of stuff. You ever have incidents like that now that you're back on the base path, so to speak, baselines?
Well, I talk to the fans. I go over there and interact with them, talk to them. You love to see the kids, you know, flip them a ball here and there. And they're great. They're so excited. The fans are so excited to be there. You see a family. You see the kids there. They're yelling. You know, you can hear them yelling at the players and trying to get their attention. And it's great. It's great to see. It's a different perspective than being in the dugout, being on the baselines and being able to talk to the fans here and there and see how enthusiastic they are about their team.
Yeah, well, what do they say to you?
They don't say too much.
Are they getting on you at all?
No, not yet. I mean, we had somebody thrown out earlier in the year. It was the Gomez tag up. It was the play when Gomez did not tag.
Okay.
A guy in left field had a good arm and threw the ball. Remember, he misfired the home plate. We talked about that
Duval.
Play.
Wasn't it Duval?
Yeah, Duval, and Gomez didn't score, and... they were yelling, Wotus, it's a little league play. He goes, you stink. You know, they get on you. And it comes with the territory, but I haven't had a whole lot of that yet, thank goodness.
Carmen, you got a question for Woe this morning?
Yeah, so I read an article that Brandon Belt wrote about you, and I think it was called something like Showing Wotus a Little Love or something like that. And I loved it so much because, you know, we know how much you do, and it's nice to hear that the players think so, too. So he credits a lot of his kind of defensive success to you. He's playing a little further off the bag so that he can cover more ground. And that was something he said that you spotted and you helped him out with. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of how you made that adjustment for him?
Well, you know, first off, it's really kind to him to do that. You know, I mean, we all do our jobs, and that's my job to try to help him. So it was nice to hear him publicly say those things. And but as far as his development, you know, he came up with us, and when you have a player that comes through the minor leagues and he gets to the big leagues, you do have a strong bond with him because you worked with him. He's been in the organization, so we've been together several years, obviously, and we're just constantly making adjustments, and he has the ability to do that. You know, we've talked about Brandon a lot. Not every first baseman has the ability to play way off the bag because they're not quick enough or athletic enough. They don't have the ability to throw people out, you know, crashing on bunts because they can't get in there. They don't have the strong arm. So he has a lot of weapons. We're just trying to get him to utilize all his weapons. And, you know, he's done a very good job at that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carmen.
No, I was going to say, I know that, you know, he would like to win a gold glove, and I think, like, if he does, he's going to have to credit you or get you a nice dinner or something, because...
Mercedes.
No, he's
a Volvo.
Mercedes. No, he's done Volvo. Plenty, but trust me, if he wins a gold glove, I'll be ecstatic. You know, his, you know, the ratings, which we got to take all these ratings with a grain of salt, you know, the zone ratings and all that, right. Because, you know, sometimes they're lopsided. They don't make any sense. But he has been leading first basemen in defensive runs saved this year, and his zone rating has been the top in baseball. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for him for that. So all his hard work of putting himself in an uncomfortable position playing off the base, that's not easy to do. You get to the base late, and sometimes you have some miscues because of that, because you turn around and the ball's already on the way. But he's really fighting to be as good as he could be and cover as much ground as he could be, and my hat's off to him for that.
Good for him. You know, Sandoval made a couple of nice plays last night at first. He's hanging in there.
Yeah, you know what? He got great hands, accurate arm. He's having a good time moving around the diamond. He's having a real good time. He loves working at second base. First base, obviously, he's played quite a bit. I know he's chomping at the bit now to get to shortstop, which remains to be seen whether he'll end going over there or Joe Panik will go over there. But he's done a nice job, been a great role player for us and filling in where we need him.
You ever wake up in the middle of the night in a dream and you go, is Sandoval at shortstop?
Yeah, I have. I have. Honestly, when he played second base, it was the same thing. I never saw him playing second base for us. But we have a need, and he went out twice and did the job. So a great job by Pablo.
Yeah, good for him. Look, you want enthusiasm, and someone will take on with confidence to try to take. And you've always said it. It's hard to learn a new position during the season because you usually weaken two positions by doing that. I always remember that. So
yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy to. I mean, you're an infielder, but everything at second base is so different than he has to do. Of course, he played first, so you have to turn awkwardly to throw to second. But it's much easier usually for a third baseman to go to shortstop because you're on that side of the diamond, opposed to going to second where you have to, you know, turn differently to start the double play. Now you have to deal with the double play at game speed, which you haven't when the balls are hit. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that, you know, the games he's played hasn't come up. And, you know, it won't be easy for him if he's out there a lot. But he's got the ability and the determination to do it. There'll be some growing pains.
I'd like to see him play all nine positions one day in one game. Now, you know, if it didn't matter, you know, if you clinched the division already.
Well, having said that, well, okay, if we clinched the division, okay, that's a possibility. You said if it didn't matter, I was going to think, well, we don't want that to happen.
Exactly. No, if you clinch the division and you get, look, he could play the toughest one, pitcher and catcher. So, and you've seen him in the outfield. So as long as he doesn't, you know, get in anyone's way. And I think he could do it. I don't think we've had it since Cesar Tovar or Campy Campaneris or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Pablo in center field and a shortstop, huh? It could happen.
Why not? Carmen and Allie and I do a podcast every Wednesday. It's called Mid-Inning Relief. Mid-Inning Relief. You can get it on iTunes. One of the questions we did, and it's a lot of fun to do this. If you could, and of course you don't usually have to buy a ticket to get in the park, but if you could sit anywhere in the park, and you've been to a lot of games. Anywhere in the park, what's your favorite seat in the park?
Yeah, well, I want to be close. Any sporting event you go to, I want to be down there. You go to the Warriors game, you know, good luck tonight to the Warriors. You go there and you're a few front row or five rows back. It's a different game. And I think baseball's the same way. I mean, if I could pick my seat, I'd be behind home plate, maybe five or six rows up, so I had a little bit of a view. I wasn't blocked out by anybody. And I'd have a view of the whole field. You'd be able to see the defense, you know, a straight-on view. Where the scouts sit. That's where I would want to be.
All right, Adam, who works with us, he likes upper third deck, where you can see the hills of Berkeley and the sun hitting the hills and all that.
He called them the makeout seats.
The makeout seats.
Well, there you go. That's the reason why. Beautiful views. You know, our ballpark is tremendous, but I want to watch the game. I don't want to make up. I'm here to watch makeout. I'm here to watch the game, not make up.
Lori, you're not hearing this, okay? Lori's not listening to this. All right.
Well, if I get her to come to a game, maybe I would make up with her.
Very good. Well, what a nice homestand. Arizona's coming in. They just beat up on the Reds and the Marlins. Now they're coming in. You got Godley and Corbin again. And Goldschmidt's starting to heat up. I like June. I like this month of baseball. You're going to get to see who you are.
Yeah, well, you know, as you said, the team's coming together. Unfortunately, we lost Brandon Belt. We get a guy back. We lose a player. Bum's coming off the DL soon. But I like the way we're coming together. The bullpen's stronger. We get our pitching back. We're going to be fine. Yeah. You know, Arizona has had their troubles. And we're all bunched up here in the division. So to be 2.5 games out with all the issues that we've had so far this year, we're in good position. You always want to be better. Look, you know, there's a lot of games we wish we would have won. But we're right where we need to be. So,
yeah, fun. Yeah. I love it. Hey, Mike Phillips, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. Great time.
All right. And Mike, of course, what's the name of the place, Will?
Coconuts. Poke bowl, fish tacos. It's tremendous.
All right, I'm in for that. And, well, have a great day today, and I'll see you during the week. And Carmen, and more coming up right here, KMBR 680, the Sports Leader.